Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production with your hosts, Bewildered Bob, Wakeful Wade, and Mesmerizing Mark. This week, the elite of engagement enunciate over the exacting enfilades of ads and enchantment surreptitiously scattered about our media. Yes, it's time for Criminally Subliminal. Please prepare thy pause button and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Distractable. I'm your host today, Wade Barnes, your winner, your champion.
What a legitimate win it was. That's real good.
A win to remember.
You earned it, man.
A win to never forget.
From one of the best episodes we've ever done. Thank you, Bob. The golden episode that was.
Fine, I'm gonna redeem myself today. It's fine. This is fine.
Okay.
We'll find out. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Busy morning. Very productive, efficient. I'm pretty happy with how today went.
Yeah, I'm good too. I sat on the couch until this, and I scrolled on TikTok, and also productive, very productive morning. And now I'm ready for this, prepared.
Excellent.
All right, I talked about this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to mention it again now. After, well, never mind, cut this out, because I'm completely wrong about what the hell I'm talking about.
That might be a distractible record for fastest turnaround.
Listen, I've had a lot of water today. I'm swinging off the chandeliers. I'm a little in water-cated. Things are good.
I do have news to interrupt your goodness.
Oh, go ahead.
I have news. More Distractable Animateds are on the way. If you are listening to this and you enjoy animations of our podcast here, they will be coming out shortly. If you did not know, there's one already that's on my channel, and we have a Distractable YouTube channel where you will find these lovely animations in the future.
YouTube.com/Distractable Podcast.
Yes, I think.
That's it. I know that one.
Okay.
We have merch too, and we've got new merch hopefully rolling in. It's been rolled in, so on and so forth. So you guys should check the merch store daily.
Man, we are plugging a lot right off the bat. People are tuning out.
Oh, well, never mind. Don't check the merch.
Don't do any of that.
I lied. Don't check it. Forget about it.
Listen to us.
Just listen to this episode. Just do the episode.
Yeah, do the episode.
All right. Let me check my notes. Today's episode, definitely a real banger for our average listener. Advertising.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, you know it. You love it. You want more of it. Today's episode is sponsored by us. We are advertising ourselves.
Yeah.
What a fitting plug.
I do not get enough ads in my everyday life. Give me more.
Well, that's the point, right? Like, we advertise ourselves, our own stuff. We have our own set of sponsors. We do our own brand deals and collaborations and things. And we also have to consume a lot of other advertising, and advertising is kind of like the silent killer.
Why is it the silent killer?
What's it doing to me?
What's
Wait.
It doing? Yeah,
that's right.
Come on, 11 o'clock news anchor, tell me how advertising's killing my family.
Well, you gotta tune in at 11 o'clock to find out. This was just a tease.
I thought I was watching the news. This is just a commercial.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this has just been an ad the whole time.
This is just advertising. God damn it.
Man, we're getting gotten so many ways we don't even understand it.
What a nefarious adversary.
Oh, I know. 3 points to both of you for getting got.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, that feels good.
It's like a reward system for ads, you know. You listen to an ad, you get points.
I guess the topic of advertising by itself is kind of like just open and, you know, you can kind of talk about whatever part of it you want. But the fact of the matter is we live with a lot of advertising all over the place all the time. Some of it's effective. Some of it just annoys us. Some of it we just tune out. But like it or not, ads are here to stay. And I guess we're going to talk about our opinions on it, or memorable ads, or ads we wish we didn't remember, so on and so forth. So I don't know, what part of advertising do you guys want to approach?
I have a story I'd like to talk about.
All right.
Oh, by all means.
This is not my own story. This is a thing from the world, I guess. So I don't really have a fancy title for it or anything. But did you guys see this? I don't know how much you're on TikTok. I scroll TikTok a fair amount. Most of it's garbage, but I scroll until I see a dog or something I'm interested in. But I found this thing on TikTok. A guy who had an account. His name is Kyle Sheely or Sheel, something like that. I posted a thing which was just like, he's like kind of a comedy variety type content creator. And he posted a video where he was like, I've got this idea. I think if I make a cardboard cutout of myself, you know, like a stand-up cutout of me with like a slogan on it that's just like the Kyle Sheely meal or whatever, like get that made and put it in this gas station.
Sure.
No one will notice. I'll walk in and I'll talk to the person and be like, hey, I just setting up this thing from corporate or whatever. And no one will question it. And let's see how long I can put it in there. And it was posted with as just like his idea for a joke, right? So he does this. He goes into it's a come and go gas station. Best gas station name, by the way. Come and go. K-U-M and go. Amazing name. And then he puts it in there and he gets like, it's the whole thing. He gets back in the car and he's like, it's in there. Nobody said it. And it blows up. People are like, that's really funny, dude. Which, sure, that's a funny idea. I watched it and I was like, that is funny. I wonder how long it'll stay there. And he did a bunch of follow-ups. And eventually the account of the gas station, the come and go account, was like, hey, we saw what you did. We're going to have to take that out of the store, but what if we did like a promotion or something? What if we made the Kyle Sheely meal, right? And he was like, this is crazy. This goes so cool. We're going to do a collab with Come and Go gas stations. And in like 3 days, it went from this dude's doing a prank to Come and Go rolling out the official Kyle Sheely meal. I don't know the exact timeline, but it's super fast. And I remember when I saw the announcement, I was like, how did they move that fast?
Yeah.
Like nothing corporate ever happens that fast. It would be like a month between them being like, hey, maybe we should work with this guy who made a viral video to like get things approved, printed, get stuff out to all of your franchises because it's a, you know, it's like a nationwide thing. Anyway, this all happens. They roll out the Kyle Sheely meal. And at some point, like a couple weeks after this has all gone down, nothing is tagged as an ad or as a collab until they start announcing this stuff. Finally, someone is like, hey, wait a minute. This whole thing was conceived from the beginning. They were working together the whole time. Apparently, this was a plant. Come and go, and this dude schemed this whole thing up and, you know, did the whole thing to get it to go viral, then to act like they were just coming to this, you know, grassroots dude. Aside from the issue of, I can't believe he posted all of this stuff, which they were clearly paying him or compensating him in some way for, setting up this quote unquote prank and stuff. Aside from that, I was like, you know what? Fucking smart ad. Like, you drew a bunch of people in. I feel a little slighted. Like, I don't have a gas station near me anyway. I might have gone and got the meal just for fun because it was kind of a meme for a minute. But, you know, like, funny ad. Like, at least you're doing something. Interesting. Everyone else on the internet other than me got fucking pissed. They were like, this is fraud. This is what's bad and wrong with advertising in this modern day and age. How do you guys react to that? Are you guys mad about that? Should I be mad about that? Am I a capitalist like bootlicker for just being like, funny ad, it's okay?
I mean, it's a question of like disclosure. That's what it comes down to. People don't like to feel like they've been tricked, right? That's why there are disclosure requirements, so people don't unknowingly be sold something that they aren't really aware of. I don't know the legalities of it, but I can kind of understand how people would be like, yeah, go! They're cheering for the underdog, and yet he was a corporate shill the entire time, right. And he pulled one over on everybody. Where did the phrase pull one over?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know.
Pull one over? Pull one over on someone. To pulled one over on me. He pulled me over.
I don't want a definition. I want the origin.
Yeah, origin. Pull over. Put one over on someone. Put someone over a barrel. Where did it come from?
What the hell?
Is it pull one over originally, or is it pull a fast one, or is it even something different than that?
Yeah, what is that? It's the same.
Those seem related, but I don't know if they're the same or different.
Pull one over.
Because I can totally understand pull a fast one, right? It's like implying things about like sleight of hand. It's tricky because you're slick. Tricky slicky. But what the hell is pull one over on that mean?
I don't know.
Pull the wool over your eyes, which is also weird. What the hell? Pull the wool.
That's gotta be like a literal thing.
Okay, medieval fairs were places of wonder and dastardly deeds where robbers were always on the lookout for victims. Their favorite technique was to pull the victim's hood over their eyes while cutting the purse strings. Hence the expressions hoodwinked.
Oh.
and to pull the wool over one's eyes.
Oh, that makes me like hoodwinked so much more.
And then they would have pulled one over on them and pulled a fast one.
Oh,
it all makes sense.
Oh, I thought it had to do with sheep, pull the wool over one's eyes, but I guess that doesn't make any sense. You're pulling the sheep's own wool over its eyes so it doesn't know you're about to kill it or shave it or something.
This was a great non-planned tangent. Today's sponsor is wool hoodies.
Mark's conceptualization of shearing a sheep is you come up behind the sheep and you wrap your arms around it and it's like, hey, what? And you're like, shh, 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 shh. It's okay. You pull the wool down over the eyes like this. This only hurt a little bit. It's going to be fine. You start shearing the sheep.
Whoa. Why are you robbing / mugging the sheep for their wool? What's happening?
Hey, listen. I don't like this. I don't like this. I'm stepping out of it.
We all learned something today.
But it's back to advertising. I do understand how people, because they do like cheering for the underdog. And yes, it's both like an act of rebellion that turns out as a win for the person you were cheering for. And then to discover that they were not true from the beginning, I can see being mad about that.
Mm. Yeah, I see nothing wrong with like what they did as far as like working together, doing the whole thing. But the fact that they didn't properly disclose it and it was played off as being a legitimate prank, that does feel wrong. Mm-hmm. That part rubs me the wrong way. What they did doesn't bother me. Like if that was something they presented like on a TV commercial and they showed like the different steps of it or whatever, I'd be like, actually, that's pretty funny. All right, well done.
Yeah.
But if I uploaded videos where I was like, guys, I've been stealing milkshakes from this company for months. And then come to find out, like, you know, I go in there, I sneak a milkshake, I run out the door or whatever, and like, oh, I can't believe he did it again. And come to find out I was working with them and it was a paid thing anyway. Like, that would feel totally wrong.
Yeah. It all boils down to like entertainment value, right? That's what a lot of advertisements try to strive for. They try to be entertaining because that's memorable and people want to be entertained. And so having that outcome from the initial entertainment of like, ooh, yeah, you're really sticking it to them. Where'd that phrase come from?
Oh, God. What are we doing?
Anyway, no. But it, like,
sticking
and then,
it to them. Hang on.
Sticking it to them. I'm thinking of the scary movie scene, you know, the sex scene from Scary Movie 1. He really stuck her to the ceiling. Do you remember? Is that the origin?
I do. Yeah, that was I can't think of a jizz pun.
I watched that movie way too young. I should not have watched that movie. I think I watched it like when it first came out. When did that come out? A scary movie.
I actually looked up, while you're looking that up, I looked up clips from that the other day because I wanted to see the scene where he throws the piano down the stairs and it hits the grandma in the face. He's like, hi, baby. And the piano comes flying down and hits her in the face. And
the scene from Scary Movie 3 where the sheriff's hat keeps getting bigger, that yeah. I think of that daily. Like, I legitimately love that joke. Anyway, sorry, what were we talking about? Sticking it to him. No, before that.
Oh, okay. Advertising. And the come and go bad.
It sours the entertainment value that they had. So whatever joy they had suddenly becomes like, man. They feel bad about themselves. They feel bad that they were fooled, you know, so they have to have like this outlet. And I understand that.
I guess for me, maybe this is just my overly cynical side coming out in a weird way, but like, I guess I don't watch anything without somewhere in the back of my mind considering that, like, well, this is some kind of ad. I'm not gonna say that nobody has artistic intention and nobody makes things purely because they have a vision or they want to elicit something in other people or whatever motivation for art. But like, when I'm consuming media, if I'm on TikTok, I'm very skeptical. Yeah. Anything I watch, I'm like, this is basically an ad. Even if it's someone just doing something for their own purposes, their own account, they're advertising their own stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing TikTok because it's their job, or they're doing TikTok because they're a musician, or they're in a band, or they have an Etsy shop, or whatever. Like, and like, I don't hold that against anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess even watching that, I was like, well, this is blown up. Like, before it happened, I had the thought, like, this is blown up. They're definitely going to meme on this. Like, Come and Go is at the very least going to make TikToks or tweets or something about this. They might work together. Who knows? He'll be in a commercial. I don't know. But like, I guess I just, I just see that everywhere, so it doesn't bother me, but that is a problem.
Yeah, they're actually, it's interesting because this reminds me of a subreddit that is dedicated to, quote unquote, calling out, I believe it's specifically Asian videos that are set up as if it was like CCTV footage or like incognito filmed, as if it was just like a normal situation, but it's like, it's a comedy sketch and like something funny happens. But people get irrationally upset because they're like, no, this is staged. It's staged. They set all this up and the joke is, you know, pre-planned. It was pre-planned. And I'm like, yeah, have you ever heard of a sketch? I mean, have you ever heard of like writers? Have you ever heard of like any kind of comedy-based show where they pre-plan their jokes? Does that make it less funny? And I get that, like, there are some videos that are intentionally shot to look like it was supposed to be just a random occurrence in real life and, you know, like whatever they're trying to get out of it. I don't know. But at the same time, it's like what you said, Bob. Like, I look at everything on the internet with this idea that, like, this could be fake, but is it entertaining? Is it worth me watching? That should be like the core experience behind it.
Yeah. Even videos of a completely real video, like a completely real, someone, security guard, found a CCTV video of a hilarious thing where someone falls on an ice in a funny way.
Yeah.
Even if that's pure just life happening and someone captured it, the thing that I experience from that is not based on whether or not it's real. It's how I relate to it. The entire point of scripted shows, scripted comedy, is that it elicits some sort of connection or reaction in you.
Yeah.
So this makes me feel like I'm just a desensitized like sociopath or something, but like I don't care if stuff is fake. I assume things are fake.
Yeah.
If it's online, it's probably fake.
Yeah.
you know how hard it is to get footage from like a security camera system in the place where you work, where the security cameras guard, you know, the important valuable assets of the company. And if you went to your boss and you were like, Greg, I got this clip on the security system of the garbage man slipping on the ice and falling headfirst into the trash can. It's so funny. Can I please like clip that and download it or like record it with my phone? He'll be like, no, that's not what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be patrolling. What are you doing? Like, that's not a thing that happens in real life. No boss is going to be like, oh my God, yeah, put that on Reddit. Shit.
Yeah.
That's going to be such good publicity for our back alley sidewalk with no, like no one, that doesn't happen. I assume it's fake.
Yeah.
But anyway, I still, all of this conversation, like, this is pretty real how I feel, but it does make me question, like, oh no, am I part of the system?
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Do you guys remember the Nationwide Life Comes At You Fast commercials? I loved those things when those first started coming out.
Which ones though?
Yeah, they would play like the tune, the woo-hoo, and like they would always like show something. Like there was one where like someone was like driving their car through the woods or something, like a tree falls on them like out of nowhere. Or I think during like the Super Bowl they had like Fabio on a boat like paddling through a river. They're like, the new Fabio shampoo, and he passes under a bridge and he comes out and he's like really old and no longer like the sexy man stud. They're like, life comes at you fast, by switching to Nationwide. Do you remember those commercials at all? Because those live rent free in my head all the time.
I vaguely remember those. I didn't attach to those, but I do really like the Mayhem commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same idea. Mayhem like me.
I love that dude.
Yeah, it's the same idea. It's just like chaos in a commercial. It's actually kind of
funny.
Didn't
that guy get in a car accident recently?
Maybe.
I don't know. He's in like one or a couple of the John Wick movies, I think.
Yeah, Dean Winters.
It was really off-putting to see him.
I could have sworn. Yeah, whoa, okay. This is actually serious. Dean Winters living in pain after multiple amputations.
Oh my God, that's not lighthearted at all.
That's not lighthearted at all. That sucks.
Two toes and half a thumb amputated due to a bacterial infection.
Ah, shit. That sucks.
Wait, almost died.
That was back in 2009?
Oh, it's toes and a thumb. Oh, that's... Wasn't that even before these started coming out?
Yeah, that's what this says. This says back... Hasn't taken a step since 2009 without being in pain.
Oh, this isn't recent. Oh, okay. All right. Because I was really struggling not to say life comes at you fast when I read that title.
Jeez, Mark.
And I was like, that wouldn't be cool to make a joke about this. But, no.
He's fine now, so we can make jokes, right?
He's good. Yeah, he's good.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But also, it happened in 2009. Weird.
Yeah.
I had never heard that story.
That's really weird.
Huh.
Nah. You know what ad sticks in my mind is the Nutri-Grain commercial.
The what?
From its... You probably wouldn't remember it if I just say Nutri-Grain. Or no, it wasn't Nutri-Grain. It was the commercial didn't work because I don't remember the name of the thing. What's that the green little oat bar? What is that called?
Nature Made?
Nature Made. Was that it? Feels good.
Or Nature? No. Yeah. Wait. What is that?
No. Was it Nutri-Grain? It might have been. It was Nutri-Grain. It was Nutri-Grain. I feel great. It's the one where this guy. I'll post it in the Discord. But he basically. He takes a bite of a Nutri-Grain bar and he constantly goes, "Ooh, I feel great. Come on, hit me. I want to make some babies. Lots of babies." You know,
oh my God. It looks like it was shot on a camcorder.
It's old. It's an old commercial.
I see it on YouTube back in 06. So it's at least 15 or so years old, at least.
Yeah. It came out in 03. I remember that.
Okay.
And I have gone back to watch that commercial. Just randomly. You're a great guy with great instincts. You're going to do great. What the hell? It's just it's so fast paced. It's so insane. And clearly Nutri-Grain would never have this effect on a human being at all. It's just basically jam wrapped in really weird grain stuff.
It's like a fig Newton if
exactly.
It was oatish.
Yeah, and I've eaten Nutri-Grain bars. They are food, and...
You know what?
Yeah.
Wait, though, can I say? I remember a lot of occasions being over at your place, and we're like, oh, we're gonna, let's have a lunch or whatever. Let's have some food. You always have Nutri-Grain bars.
I do?
In your pantry. Am I going crazy? I feel like I have specific memories of you always having Nutri-Grain bars around for a lot of instances.
You might be right, and this may be a case where the commercial works better than I thought it did.
The most effective advertisement in the history of mankind. You watched this when you were a kid in the 90s, and the entire rest of your life you've been like, oh, gotta grab the Nutri-Grain. God, I fucking hate those.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do I buy those?
Yeah, why do I buy those? I don't really like
them. I don't know. I have to buy them, though.
I have to buy them.
I've got an example of a good commercial that sticks in my head that oh man, I have nostalgia for that toy and that stuff. And they've got do you guys remember I think they still run it, I had to look up which car company it was, because again, it didn't really work on me. It was the GMC commercial that came out in Christmas time, I think 2018 ish where this couple that is way wealthier than 90% or 99% of humanity have this modernistic mansion, and it starts off with the lady being like, oh hey, I got us something, and one for you, one for me. And it's watches, a red and a black watch. And then he's like, oh, I also got us something. And they step outside and there's two brand new GMC SUVs, a red one and a black one. And she's like, I love it. And she runs to the black one. He's like, oh no, wait, that one's for I love it. I love it. And he's like, I like red. And it did not make me want to buy a GMC, nor feel like I ever could buy a GMC, because if you have to own that kind of mansion to afford it. But I always think of that commercial. It stuck with me. Despite the fact I have no interest in the product, the commercial has stuck with me. I like red.
That's because that's the point of commercials and advertising. It's not necessarily to sell you something or to get money back for if we convert enough sales. It's just to get the name of the company into your head. So
that didn't even work, because I had to look it up. I had to look up what car it was. They never say it at all.
You know what's interesting about that? What you're saying, Mark, is ostensibly the point of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized, you know who really stands to benefit from a commercial being incredibly memorable and burning into your memory?
What?
It's the fucking companies that make the commercials.
They don't give a shit about if they want to have enough info where they can be like, look, you paid us $20 million. Look at all this hype. Look, we made a viral commercial. People are protesting, you know, whatever. People are all over this. But no one remembers that it's a GMC commercial. But then when that company is like to the next big company, they're like, look at this. Look at this viral ad we made. It was amazing. That only benefits them. That doesn't benefit the company. You couldn't even remember if it was Nutri-Grain or not.
Yeah.
A commercial from two and a half decades.
Uh-huh.
You remember the commercial vividly. It had nothing to do with the product.
Yeah.
I assert commercial companies, advertising firms, they're all out for themselves.
I mean, you
it's
might
a conspiracy.
Be right. You might be absolutely right. But I would
corporations
counter.
Corporations are getting scammed.
I would counter that because you just said that I have a lot of Nutri-Grain bars in my history.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe it's subconscious then. I don't know about
it
that.
It is. I think it's like a subconscious thing.
I think food commercials hit differently, though, because if I see food that I want, I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'm ordering pizza tonight. But if I see like another product, I'm like, man, I really need Clorox bleach today. Like,
No, that it's a thing because when you're in a store, you see so many brands, but you will recognize one,
even if
you don't realize it. You'll gravitate towards that one because you're like, oh, I've heard of this, or like, I recognize this one, I've heard of this brand name. Whereas other ones, like, it's all the same product. The illusion of choice spread throughout the American economy, and all of it is just a bunch of bullshit, and all of the conglomerates own every company anyway, and there's really no differentiating between the product. You get a tube of toothpaste, one says whitening, one says less sensitivity on your gums. They're both the same thing. If you look at the ingredients, it's exactly the same.
But I did buy Mr. Bucket as a kid and not Mr. Yellow Can.
I wasn't done. But you gravitate towards the one that you recognize because you have heard something about it. And so having those different choices there just makes it so that one of them can stand out to you. I'm done now.
So I have a question about this, I guess. You brought up an interesting point for me, Mark.
Okay.
When you are shopping, and when I am shopping, in general, there's like the brand name or brand names, multiple, and then there's like the store brand. I don't care about the brand name. I will buy store brand anything, pretty much. I will recognize brands, and if I'm looking for something specific that like a certain brand makes a certain flavor or something, sure, I will do that. I will pick that one. But in general, if I'm trying to buy like ibuprofen, I don't really care unless I'm like, I'm really sick and I need the medicine, or I have a crazy headache and I'm buying ibuprofen because I have a crazy ass headache. Then something in my brain is like, get the name brand. Get the good one. It will work better.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That does work like that.
How do you guys differentiate that? Do you not care about store brand? Do you get the name brand because it's something in your head?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Toilet paper and paper towels, I want like the best one of. Toilet paper, I cannot stand crappy toilet paper, no pun intended. I need soft, thick sheets that comfort my rectum. Sorry, I went a little too far there. But, you know, I can't handle, like, the little thin papery stuff that the moment they touch your butt, it disintegrates and it's just your hand on your asshole.
I think you might need more layers of toilet paper. I have a tip on that.
You could stop at any moment.
I have acidic ass.
You could literally stop anytime.
Oh, no.
You recognize you were at the edge of the cliff and then you kept going.
But you know what I'm talking about. You know that really awful toilet paper.
Wade has the spiciest ass you have ever seen.
I feel like this is a good time to bring up this advertising topic. Is Molly, credit to Molly for this. So this whole, the reason this ass stuff is in your brain is Molly's fault. You're welcome.
Why would you bring Molly into this?
To point in a different direction than myself. Right,
it's not working.
I'm the judge and I say if it works or not.
Okay, so that's interesting though. So I'm the same way about toilet paper, which, you know, you wouldn't want to cover something cheap in poop and flush it down the toilet. You want to cover the more expensive thing, obviously.
Here's an example of this that's kind of, because most of the time I'm okay with generic brand. Where I'm not okay is like Amazon Basics stuff. You know what I mean?
I like Amazon Basics.
No. Amazon Basics is terrible because not only are they like, okay, they're offering like staple items at like low prices. That was the whole idea behind it.
Sure.
But then they went a step further, and there's an example with, I think it's Peak Design backpacks, right? So Peak Design is a high quality backpack manufacturer. I own a few. I'm not sponsored by them. They just make good shit, right?
Sure.
So they have what's called like an, I think it's called like their everyday sling. It's just a pack that goes over your shoulder. It wraps around. Very convenient for holding cameras and quickly accessing them. Amazon came out with a literal copy of it. I think they even called it like the everyday sling. They have since changed it because Peak Design called them out in a video, and it just opened up this window to me anyway. They were probably already doing this, where Amazon Basics, what they do is they find a popular product on their store on Amazon.com and they will copy it because that one's popular and they will offer it as a cheaper alternative. They will place it higher in the rankings so that you see, oh, that one's, ooh, it's more money. Ooh, this one's cheaper, but it's lower quality. I will pay for quality any day. And it's the same extension as the toilet paper thing, because I know when I buy it from, say, this company, Peak Design, or any other company that makes high quality goods, and I know it's gonna last longer. I know it's gonna be more like effective for what I need it to do. It's gonna be more intelligently designed. It's going to have higher quality materials. Like, really, there's a whole thing about like boots, you know, like that has been echoing since the early 1800s, whenever boots started being made. Probably before that, but you know, I'm just guessing. It's like you can buy a shitty pair of boots that'll wear out in 6 months of constant use, or you can buy a really nice pair of boots that cost maybe double, maybe even triple the price, but they'll last you your life. Like, it'll last forever. And that's like the philosophy I go in terms of buying a store brand thing versus a name brand thing.
That's fair.
And Amazon is a bad, it's bad at that kind of thing.
But listen, so that's like a practice of Amazon around the Basics, whatever brand.
Sure.
Yeah, that's really shitty. Obviously, they're using their substantial resources they have, where they could literally see any product and be like, yeah, we can source that shit and slap something together that looks kind of like that and sell it for a third of the price.
Yep.
And like, I think, I don't know, I don't want to be on the side of Amazon here, but I think it's good that that option exists.
Yeah.
Because if it's expensive, high quality stuff, or can't afford, then yeah, you need something in between can't afford anything and you know, a $200 backpack, or I don't know how much those Peak Design ones are, but like,
yeah, they're pretty
they're
pricey,
nice, right?
Yeah, they're nice, but they're pricey. Yeah,
for a nice bag, that's sort of what you pay. But like, yeah, the Amazon stuff is not as good. But like, in my office right now, I have within reach several 7-8 things that are Amazon Basics, because it's things like a phone charging cord that I don't want to pay $50 for a 5-foot-long braided carbon fiber.
Sure.
You know, there are certain things that Amazon Basics is great for, aside from the fact that it's from Amazon, but whatever. You know, the capitalism issues aside, that's cool. But yeah, the stealing of the ideas and knocking shit off, and I would never buy that either. I feel like that's totally fair.
Yeah.
But I'm also such a cheapskate, I would never buy a Peak design bag. I would look at Peak and then be like, all right, who's copying Peak who's not Amazon? What about like a $60 version of that bag? I would go on, you know, I would get an Instagram ad 3 days later and I'd be like, that's what I wanted. And it'd probably be the same bag that Amazon's selling, but just with a higher price because it has a different brand on it.
Absolutely. There are things like that.
Oh, who's the sucker, I guess. But
I would never buy like an Apple is a good example of it. Apple's charging cords. Why would you go for that?
Oh,
They're not even good. Or they're just good enough, you know. They work and you know they'll work, but also you can find any other. There's hundreds of companies that have cables. You just look at reviews like, hey, this one works and it's cheap. Bam, that one, mine. Thank you.
Do they have medicine on Amazon Basics? Can you get medicine? It's like you'll have half the diarrhea you had instead of no diarrhea.
That's interesting.
I gotta look that up. I got Amazon Basics medicine.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna look. Amazon Basics medicine. What do we got?
It's 1/3 the dose you need for the price you want to pay.
Oh yeah, Amazon Basics cold and flu.
Is there
Amazon Basics acid reducer with Amazon printed right on the box?
Oh my god, Amazon Basics acetaminophen.
Amazon Basics Tussin.
Is it as good as regular medicine?
Ooh, who knew?
I mean, so like legally it has to be, right? It has to say what ingredients are in it. It has to have the correct ingredients in it.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Then again, the people running our country, whenever they get interviewed about stuff like this, they don't seem to know what the fuck they're talking about, so they probably don't even know it exists.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
That's the thing too, with all the levels of regulation and different types of things are regulated differently. The companies will put a badge on their, you know, they make like a supplement and they'll put a badge that's like organic and certified. Like the FDA does not certify supplements. Who certified this? What do you mean certified?
I can see the congressional hearing now. Like, Mr. Bezos, I had an ear infection. I went to Amazon and the doctor there told me to buy this basic acetaminophen. Now, can you help me get better, internet?
Thank you, Congressman. Please go back to bed now.
All right, thank you. Nurse, help me to my bed.
Oh my God. This is an Amazon Basics basketball, which is just a brown basketball with Amazon Basics embossed on one panel, and that's it.
The brand is basketball.
Oh, wow.
All right, so Amazon Basics is a mixed bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's interesting because I...
Would you trust their medicine, Bob?
I buy store brand medicine in general, and it works. Mm-hmm. That's the thing too about stuff like this. People are like, "Oh, it's from Amazon." Well, no, it's not from. It's, if it's a generic medicine, it's probably from the same place that all of the other store brand medicines are from.
Yeah,
it definitely seems like everything is differentiated with the packaging and stuff. Stuff in America comes from like three sources.
I know. Yeah,
it's like there's not that many companies, so it's probably the exact same shit.
Do you want me to go on my rant about homogenized corporations?
Oh, baby, please.
Go there. Come on.
I was doing it before, but I'll do it again.
We have Bob's Fridge and Mark's homogenized sources.
You know how many toothpaste there are? All of it's Procter & Gamble. Every single one of them. Cincinnati-based Procter & Gamble owns the entire toothpaste industry. It's all the same. It comes down to one building, Kroger. Ralph's, it's the same. Ralph's is owned by Kroger. You think Ralph's is different just because it's on the West Coast? No, Kroger. Down south, there's another one. I don't even remember what it is. It's Kroger.
Harris Teeter.
Huh?
Harris Teeter, that's the one.
Harris Teeter, I've never heard of that, but Harry Titties.
Yeah.
Dude, the South has some crazy-ass grocery stores.
Yeah.
Harris Teeter, Food Lion.
Whatever the Texas one.
Heb.
Kroger, at least, in Cincinnati, will give you plastic bags. I don't know what y'all are doing in California, but we still get bags over here.
We still get bags. There's plastic bags here. What do you mean?
What happened to you?
What did you think happened?
I had to carry my groceries out by my bare hands. Wasn't allowed to wear gloves when I carried them.
Maybe that was you. You just walked out. They were like, hey, we got paper bags. Is that okay? Oh, nay, I say. To hell with the paper.
Yeah, plastic is clearly superior. It recycles better. It burns better. What's paper used for?
Okay. You can get plastic. Every grocery store I've been to in California has had plastic bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they charge you for the bags.
Okay.
Yeah, they charge you 10 cents a bag, Wade. It's real steep.
Oh, but what if I need 10 bags? That's a full dollar.
No, the thing is, the new plastic bags that they charge you for, you can bring them back.
Oh!
They're very reusable.
You notice how they're thicker?
They're meant to be used multiple times.
I actually kind of wish we had a system of more reusable stuff here in all seriousness.
What do you mean, go buy a bag?
We have that thing.
What do you mean? Go buy a bag!
All right, Mark, can you please keep this to English? I don't know what you're saying right now.
Go buy any bag. You have a backpack, right? You can put groceries in any container that you can carry.
Yeah, see, we have a whole like pantry. The whole bottom of the pantry is just like those cheap bags, and we use them for like garbage bags, some of our bathrooms and stuff, but we still get more than we end up using. We have so many bags.
Take them back!
Oh, man.
I know for a fact Kroger's in Ohio have things right by the exits and entrances, where it's just a big thing that's like, recycle your plastic bags, stuff them in here. Free, right there, right at the grocery store.
Hey, I've never noticed. I don't know if ours do.
Wade tunnel visions food and toilet paper. He's got his serious scanning for high quality toilet paper.
Well, yeah, what else do you get at the grocery store other than food and bags?
Wade comes storming into the Kroger, butt absolutely caked in poo, like, oh, I can't believe we ran out again. This has got to stop happening. My car smells so... Oh, you don't have a car, sorry.
Oh. And there's a hole in my pants where my acidic ass is ripped through everything because I can't wipe it with the good paper.
There's so many boxers with this acidic butthole.
I learned about that reminds me of there's actually a thing called piss hands.
Wait,
Yes,
I learned about that as well.
Art world. Were you watching Corridor Crew?
Yes.
Like Adam Savage talking about his piss hands.
I'm Googling piss hands against my better judgment.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's a very like, you know, small circle. circle that knows what piss hands is specifically.
Oh, I got it. Urban Dictionary says the act of putting your hand in front of the penis or under the vagina to intercept piss as it flows out.
Yep.
Right?
That's the one.
Uh-huh. That's what Adam Savage did a lot.
A warm to mildly hot sensation may follow.
Warm to hot? Wait. Hot.
Mildly hot.
Mildly hot.
And then the following article is, says, can peeing on your hands make them... Oh, that says see-through. It says tough. Never mind. I thought it just...
Wait, you saw see-through was tough.
Yeah, I thought tough was see-through.
It absolutely will toughen up that hand pad.
But will they become see-through?
Well, that's up for debate.
Oh, my God.
Another article. Urine is sterile, so why do men wash their hands?
I mean, fair question. Fair question. I always wondered that.
Because your dick's not?
Wait, yours isn't?
But urine comes out down there, so it's got to be.
Are you only grabbing the urine? What are you doing? Are you like a water bender with like the stream coming out your dick and you just aim it?
Well, wash your dick with your urine. Sterilize it. Sterilize it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sterilizer. It is sterile. But the moment it comes out of your penis, it becomes not sterile.
Oh.
People think sterile means something that it doesn't mean.
Means it's like means it's like Purell, right?
No.
Hey, I'm out of Purell.
Anybody ever offers me hand sanitizer again, I'm saying no.
Purell manufacturing plant is just a bunch of weird toilets that collect it all. You gotta get the yellow out of it so nobody knows the secret.
Yeah, that's why the knockoff brands are all yellowed, you know. They don't have an extra step.
Why does some hand sanitizer have the little, like, chunky bits in them? Like, you know, the little, like, it looks,
they're like little
looks like
silicone
party
beads
popper
or
stuff.
Something. Yeah,
like
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't like that kind. I gotta be honest.
Is that chunky pee?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing.
Look, this is about advertising. Wait, I have something else we can talk about.
Great, you get 2 points, Bob, for a segue.
Have you guys ever seen Pink? Marjoram? Margarine?
Pink.
I didn't know
Margarine?
Her last name, but her music's pretty good.
Uh huh. Yeah, sure. So
give
butter,
a point
right?
For that great joke, Wade.
Thank you. I will.
Everybody loves butter. But during the early part, like during the Industrial Revolution, the late 19th, early 20th century, butter was kind of hard to come by, was not shelf stable because it had to be refrigerated, all this stuff. Margarine is basically like whipped oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's shelf stable. It's kind of like butter. It tastes pretty good. But apparently there was this big thing when margarine was invented. It's kind of like a grayish color because it's basically oil. It's not a particularly good color. It's kind of gross. And there was a huge fight. The dairy farmer, like lobbyists or whoever, got local governments as well as like state and larger area provincial governments in Canada to make a law that margarine could not be butter colored. And so for a long time, and still today in some specific brands, margarine is sold in either a disgusting, like grayish, gross, non-edible looking color or bright pink because it has to be distinguished from butter because they did not want margarine pretending to be butter. It's really gross. Like imagine you're having a piece of toast and you're like, oh, honey, will you hand me the margarine? And it's just like a tub of pink. Like, it looks like cotton candy gum. That's horrific.
I'm okay with that.
Wait, was I Can't Believe It's Not Butter actually margarine?
What?
Yeah, that's what that is, I think, right?
Of course it is.
Wasn't that the same color as butter?
It is now. What I'm saying, this was like, you know, 700 years ago.
Okay, gotcha.
There are still brands that in modern times sell pink margarine, but I think it's like this is the old dimey margarine or whatever. I have no idea why you would choose to do that. It sounds terrible, but it looks gross.
I mean, I don't think it looks so gross. I'm actually okay with that.
It looks like strawberry something flavored something. It actually looks kind of good.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
It looks like Pepto-Bismol spread on a piece of toast.
I get that, but also... My mind doesn't go to Pepto-Bismol. My mind does go to bubblegum, and I don't want a bubblegum butter, but knowing that it's margarine, I think I would be able to fight through that and get straight to the deliciousness.
Bob, you get a point for having Pepto-Bismol work on you. You thought of their brand.
Upset stomach, diarrhea.
Are there, like, I guess we're coming toward the end here a little bit, but are there, like, commercials you know worked on you?
That
McCluskey,
I know.
McCluskey, Chevrolet, lower prices, lower rates.
Beep, beep. Have you ever been to a McCluskey's?
No, God, no. I would never buy a Chevrolet in my entire life.
Nope.
So it's specifically advertisements that we have gone out and bought something.
Yeah, like you've seen the advertisement, you're like, okay, I'm gonna buy that.
Yeah, actually, I do have an occasion. I saw an ad online, I forget what website it was on, but it was for a wallet, a wallet company. And it was specifically not that techie wallet that everyone sees.
Rich wallet?
Yeah, it's not that one. And literally because I had been inundated with ads for that wallet, when I saw this other one that was like a very nice, higher quality leather wallet, like I went in to the website, I looked at all the research about it, it was like very well reviewed. I bought it specifically because, you know, I'm the kind of guy, like I got my wallet from Hot Topic 20 years ago, you know, I don't really care. I found a wallet off the street, I threw all the money away, and then I took it as my own. You know, I like, but
hey, wait a minute.
I went out and I've no further comment on my story there. I went out and I bought this wallet, and I, to this day, it's my favorite wallet. I look at the thing and I get happy. Like, you know, the lady on the Netflix show, you know, like if it doesn't bring you joy, throw it away. When I look at it, sometimes it brings me joy. And I know I'm a capitalist shill for looking at a product and thinking that, but I really like it. It's got a great design. It's a good color and it's high quality. And I've ran it through the wash a few times accidentally, and it's been exactly the same. The color is the same. The design is the same. Like, it's just a very well-made wallet. I'm very happy that there was an ad that showed me, because I never would have known about it otherwise.
Did you see the ad and it was like, it has these features, and you were like, wow, shit? Or was it literally you saw the ad and you were like, I like that way better than that other one, I'm just gonna buy this one?
It literally was that I was curious about it. It didn't say anything splashy. It was not something that was like, oh, this wallet is amazing, a million features. It was literally, I think it just was a picture of the wallet and it said wallet underneath, and I was like, sold.
Oh, shit.
Give me two. Which I did. I bought two.
Real quick, before we wrap this up, I want to ask the opposite. Is there a commercial that you remember that just hit you in a way where you're like, I'm never buying that product because the commercial was either just so cringe, so bad, or just so like, it just made, it had the opposite effect where you recognize the brand and you're like, I'm not touching that with a 25-foot pole.
Oh, man.
This might be controversial because I feel like people liked these commercials.
No, yeah, it's your opinion. It's not a fact.
Can I just say the Terry Crews Old Spice commercials?
Really? Wow. That's interesting.
I hate those.
Okay.
I think they're funny. Like, I watch them and I'm like, oh, ha. Oh, and it zoomed in. Wow, and his nipples dancing or whatever. It's funny. But they're so cringy. Like, every time I see one, my visceral reaction is like, oh, I don't want Old Spice. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why. Because I think they're funny, you know. They're funny. Terry Crews is funny. I like that guy.
I felt that way about Puppy Monkey Baby. Like, it did not make me want Mountain Dew. The commercial, I like laughed at it, but I was like, watching this like dude's junk in his underwear jiggle around does not make me want to buy this fucking product.
I know
product.
Exactly what you're talking
about.
I
love Puppy Monkey Baby.
You love that. Ugh.
I did that one for a long time after that Super Bowl. I would interject Puppy Monkey Baby for no reason.
I hated that. Yeah, I hated
it. Did not
anything.
Make me want Mountain Dew. I was like, I'm not buying Mountain Dew. The commercial's funny, but like, I do not want to drink this and think of a
Yeah,
fucking
it is
diaper.
So it is such a fine line of intentionally cringy stuff that like is an advertisement that just like there's a way that sometimes it works and it gets stuck in people's head. For me, it's the Starburst commercial, and I know I'm probably in the minority of this one. It's the berries and cream, I always hated that one.
Oh,
like for some reason, but for some people, and it had a resurgence recently on I think TikTok of like that coming back, and then they brought the original actor back, and I was like, why did you bring this back?
No,
like,
I also hate that one. I hate that one.
I couldn't stand it, and I saw it all the time because I watched a lot of like Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, and it would always play, and got nothing against the guy who plays that. That's fine. I cannot stand that. I refuse to get Starburst afterwards.
I'm just going down a horrible line of memories right now.
I just rewatched the commercial and I have the same reaction.
Yeah.
God, I hate that.
Yeah.
A lot of the insurance commercials too. Ugh.
I don't know. I generally don't like watching commercials, but don't have strong negative reactions to them.
I've got another one, and this is a recent one. It's a recent commercial. Have you guys seen the one with Matt Damon? And I'm not even going to talk about like the specific site that he's promoting.
Oh, yes. No, yeah.
Fortune favors the brave. That one?
Yes.
It's a crypto NFT commercial. I got nothing against Matt Damon specifically, but this commercial has the audacity to compare like the incredible achievements of humanity of like, you know, whatever, explore, like progress and stuff like that, going to space. And it ends on going like Mars and the dream of like humanity on Mars is like, cryptocurrency. The next step in human history. It's like, oh, come on. I adamantly, see, before we get a million people coming to hate, I see the potential of specifically the blockchain, the idea and the technology behind it. That one thing, I see the potential in that. The current ecosystem of that entire universe, do not compare it. Don't you dare.
No, this is not a testimony as far as the product goes. This is simply, did the commercial hit you in a way that you're like, oh yeah, or oh no. And like, no, I get you. That commercial hit me all wrong too.
Oh, I hate it.
That's a good barometer. You should bust that out if you're like at a party with a group of new people.
Just play
that. And if anyone is like, ah, yeah, just made like 4K on Dipcoin, bro, then you know you don't want to be friends with that person. Then you can rule them out.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I fucking hate that commercial.
We might have to crack out a part two for this eventually, because I feel like we have a lot to say about advertising.
No.
I'll save that for a rainy day. It'll come back.
It's just going to be a marketing podcast in the next month.
All of our sponsors are going to pull out like, we didn't like what you had to say.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about our methodology for advertising.
Hey, our ads are dynamic and engaging. They really inform you about the product, and
we end every ad recording with the sentence, do you think they'll let us do that?
I do think it's funny. I don't know if we've talked about it before. So the ads are 60 seconds, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea what ours end up being.
Last time we record, well, they do. They end up being 60 seconds. That's the thing. But the last time we recorded ads, we recorded 4 ads in an hour. And it's not like we're sitting there just quietly like, what if we talk? No. We're doing shit.
Yeah.
We just start. One of us is like, I'll do it. This episode is spot. And then we just talk for like 20 minutes. And then Will is like, oh my God. Ah, just read. God damn it. I hate you guys.
We have to, I have to ask Will, who is obviously listening to this right now, do you have a cutting room floor of all the failed ad bits that we've done? Because Bob was not exaggerating. We legitimately,
to do
10 ads, just last week, it took us an hour and 45 minutes from start to finish.
Use a robot voice, Will. Insert it. Just be like, yes, I hate you guys.
No, that's not what we're asking. I'm asking, is there a cutting room floor so that we can release that?
Well, yeah, answer it, but yeah.
Yeah, because so, content right there, that exists. Because, yes, we have taken an approach to try to make our ads funny and engaging. Sometimes we're more successful than other times, but what gets cut out is fucking hilarious. But we all are like, that can never
be. When we first started recording ads, we did 3 or 4 takes per ad, and we're like, oh, let's try this one. Will, pick your favorite one. Now we just give one take, and we're like, you'll fix it in post.
And Will is like, I can pick out some sentences from this.
I really want people to listen to that stuff someday. It's got to exist. If it doesn't, Will, you might
doing that.
Will, you might have a job.
We're gonna have an episode that's just the failed advertising bits.
If you guys
are gonna cut out the sponsors, so it'll just be the random bits around which sponsor it was.
You would never be able to guess the sponsor from some of the bits.
You would not. You would never know.
If you guys want to hear that, put it on the subreddit, like get a little poll going or whatever, or show your interest in it on the YouTube comments or whatever have you.
I look forward to the email from Will where it's like, I deleted that as fast as I got it, guys. It doesn't exist.
Can't find any of those files. Sorry, guys. Don't know what happened. Not doing that, though.
Yeah. Just got the ever increasingly more offensive BetterHelp ads that we did.
Wasn't there literally... I'm not going to say what the idea was. Wasn't there one where I was like, okay, we got BetterHelp. I got an idea, guys. And I was like, it's sponsored by BetterHelp. And I said one sentence and everyone was like, nope. No.
I think we've had a few different sponsors where we come up with ideas where we immediately shut ourselves or each other down.
Oh, man. Yeah, this happened more than once, but definitely I remember that. And let's not talk about it.
Nope. Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, that didn't happen. That's a joke. I made that up. That didn't happen.
Will, edit this in post.
Fix it in pre, Will.
So I guess to wrap things up, we have a lot to say about advertising because for the last decade, advertising has been a big part of our lives, both in and out of our own jobs. Mm-hmm. But I have to give the win to somebody here. And looking at our points,
I don't remember ever audibly getting a point this entire.
Oh, he was tracking him. He was tracking.
I literally was keeping track. I didn't say things out loud because I didn't want to interrupt you guys. But I gave you points for various bits. I gave you guys both like 2 points at the start.
It was three, but all right.
Well, maybe it was three. I didn't keep track of when I gave them to you. You guys were mostly tied, but the edge goes to Mark. Oh. And the reason the edge goes to Mark is he had an outburst that was not quite Bob's Fridge level, but it was still very funny listening to him go off on a tangent. And that was really the difference in this episode. So our winner is Mark.
Thank you. I'm very gracious. Thank you. In this advertising episode, I'd like to take my winner speech. Do I get a winner speech?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Advertise.
I was going to advertise. I have a new podcast.
Whoa.
Go for it.
With Tyler called Go My Favorite Sports. It's the Distractable Sister Podcast. I think that's what you call it.
Oh, do we get royalties from this now?
No, how much do we get? You get nothing. Okay. I'm really glad I cinched
on that one?
It. No, not at all.
And it's Go My Favorite Sports Team. Mark didn't finish the last word.
Go My Favorite team. Sports Team. And you know, big props to Tyler being a big sports guy, big props to me for not a bail on this podcast immediately. Go listen to that one, never come back.
Great.
Hey.
This episode is sponsored by Abandonment.
If you ever feel abandoned, BetterHelp is here for people to talk to you about that.
I guess that's true. I'm going to be very careful how I proceed now, but we're going to wrap up. Bob, do you want to segue into a loser's speech just to have something else said?
I didn't realize how valuable angry rants could be. I'm going to try and work more of those into more episodes in the future and hopefully steal away some wins that rightfully should have probably gone to the other person.
Especially when I'm the host, because you won Bob's Fridge with your angry rant. If I remember right,
that was
the
only one who said anything. If Mark had won, that would have been, the biggest
if
bullshit
I recall,
ever.
At the end
he technically
of that
had more
was...
points than you that episode. You won because of golf rules.
No, that episode, yeah, it was weirdly close for me not saying anything at all that episode.
That was my favorite Mark episode.
All right, well, we're going to move on immediately. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Distractable. Go listen to Go My Favorite Sports Team, but also do come back because we've got another banger coming out next week that Mark's hosting, assuming he doesn't leave us forever.
Yeah.
Thanks to our sponsors and all of our future advertising campaigns. I hope you all buy all those products and give us all your money.
Well, we don't get that money.
We don't make money if they buy
the money. Yeah.
That goes to the company.
Well, at least we're here together having fun, the three of us. Stay tuned for next week's episode where Mark will host and who knows what the hell we'll talk about. Until then, goodbye, my friends. Podcast out.